Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You know the one and only Carmen Vitale. You can find her on Twitter at Carmi V. She, of course, is a reporter for Fox Sports. Carmen, it is phenomenal to have you back on. How the heck are you doing?
I'm good. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you as well. We're recording on October 31st, which I guess the Devil's hat, very appropriate for today's show, which is perfect. Are you an actual New Jersey Devils fan, or is that just...
No, this is actually... Hold on, let me do this. It's actually, if you can see it, it's Arizona State.
Oh, Arizona State. Yeah, that's right. I knew that.
That's
I don't know
where I went.
Dumb question on my end. I totally knew that.
It's okay.
But first thing, Devils comes to mind. I don't know. I think a New Jersey Devils.
No, I know. That was kind of my trepidation with getting the hat. But we were in town for the Utah game a few weeks ago, and it was a blackout game, and I didn't have any black ASU hats. So I decided to get one at the campus bookstore. Weirdly enough, the song Every Time We Touch by Cascada came on while I was in the bookstore, and that was a song that was popular when I was in college. Amazing. So I had this like time travel moment where I'm like, I'm in my college bookstore on campus, music from 2007 is playing. What's happening here? Did I just like fever dream my entire adult life?
Going back to college your college town is the weirdest thing in the world, because I don't know about you, but like, for me, it's a literal ghost town. Like, there's still obviously everyone there. There's a billion people. But I like, from going like for 4+ years or whatever and knowing everyone in every corner of that town to now going back to that town and not knowing a single person in it is just the weirdest experience ever. But I digress. I'm glad you had fun. I'm glad you got a sweet ass hat out of it, if nothing else. And they won that game, right?
They sure did. The last two Arizona State games that I've been to, they have won against ranked opponents and stormed the field. So I think that I'm a kind of a good luck charm for them, which I take pride in.
I think you should. All right, let's talk about some NFC North. I want to start with our NFC Players of the Month. And then, of course, we have a NFC Player of the Week as well. A lot of awards for the NFC North this week. I want to start with, obviously, Jared Goff in Detroit, the Offensive Player of the Month, Xavier McKinney in Green Bay, the Defensive Player of the Month, and then Edgerrin Cooper, the Defensive Player of the Week in the NFC. Not just Rookie Player of the Week, Defensive Player of the Week, yeah, which is awesome, too. Let's start with Jared Goff. We talked about him a little bit last week. Just an absolute terror. He's an assassin right now in the pocket. Green Bay is going to get ready for him this week, which we'll talk about later, but this is a very, very well-deserved award.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at just his incredible stats over the last month, and honestly, month plus, it's really over like his last four games. His completion rate is just he's on a historic pace, completion percentage-wise and efficiency-wise and production-wise, and it's manifesting, too, in production for the Lions themselves. Obviously, you know, they've had multiple now performances at or above 50 points. And it just seems like they're playing with their food in route to these absolute routes of opponents, save for the game against the Minnesota Vikings, and probably save for the game coming up this weekend, which I'm super excited about too.
Fingers crossed. I will be very disappointed if Detroit puts up a 50 burger this week against Green Bay. Unless Green Bay can put a 60 burger up on them, that would be the only thing that would make it a little bit better. But it should be a very fun one. We'll get to that one at the end of the show, a little teaser for later. But I think one of the things you brought up is, yes, these players are having great individual success, but they are doing it in the structure of the team and making that side of the ball for their team that much better. And we can say the exact same thing about Xavier McKinney for the Packers. Sure.
Yeah, that's kind of the common theme here, is not only are they having individual success, but it is paying off for the team at large. And there's no better example of that, I think, than Xavier McKinney, who throughout, you know, Green Bay Packers trying to figure out their pass rush, really saved that defense by creating so many turnovers and takeaways. That's something that this defense has relied on through the first part of the season. And it's almost solely, I mean, not solely, obviously, but Xavier McKinney has... Almost has half of the team's takeaways. So it's been hugely important for this Packers defense to be successful and therefore be a unit that the offense can inevitably rely on through the ups and downs of Jordan Love starting or, you know, Malik Willis coming in. I mean, this is a unit that has to have continuity on the defensive side of the ball. And Xavier McKinney is just one of the biggest adds that any team could have made in the free agent process this past year. It really, really, really paid off in Jeff Hafley's system, which I think you and I talked about. We knew it would. Yeah. That's the thing, is this system is something that it really goes as the safeties go. And it just so happens now that the Packers have two of the highest graded safeties in the league, and Xavier McKinney has reaped the reward for that very much so.
Yeah, deservedly so. And we might talk about that a little bit later as well as we get to this Packers-Lions matchup. Another spoiler for later. But yeah, I think the fact that he was even available for Green Bay remains crazy. I think, like, if we've learned anything, you know, especially in this NFL season, and you can go back to Jared Goff, who I don't want to say that the Rams necessarily like completely gave up on him, but they kind of gave up on him, and they send sure him to Detroit. And then Detroit takes him, and it's just unbelievable reclamation project. And then you have Xavier McKinney, who, again, New York definitely did not give up on him, but they easily could have franchise tagged him, transition tagged him. Like, they could have kept him in New York if they wanted to. They didn't. Green Bay picks him up. We can talk about Malik Willis and how Tennessee gives up on him for a 7th-round pick. Green Bay, like, we can go all around the league, from Baker Mayfields to Sam Darnolds to Geno Smith. So, and we've talked about that before in the past as well, but like, It is just crazy. And it just is a great example of, you know, success is in progress isn't always linear. It's going to come at different times for different players. And yeah, you know, I see sometimes where, and I've been guilty of it too, you know, even with like Quay Walker right now, it can be a struggle, but like, you don't know when some of these guys are going to meet that potential and reach that level that you thought maybe they would going in. And sometimes even like a Devontae Adams in Green Bay, it took until year three until he had that takeoff moment. But for Jared Goff and for Xavier McKinney right now, playing at their top of their games, and again, very deserving of the awards this month.
Yeah, I mean, we just see how much we expect so many, all of these guys really coming straight out of college to be immediately productive. And that just isn't necessarily the case for everybody. And I think that, you know, sure, are there exceptions to that rule? Absolutely. But especially when it comes to quarterbacks, I mean, the game is so different from the college level to the pro level. And it really, we're seeing more than ever that it just matters. The situation, the system, the coach, all of that matters so tremendously, especially in the early parts of a player's career, to set them up for success overall. And I think that we kind of have to examine these by a case-by-case basis. And when you look at the guys that are the exception to the rule, they are in incredible situations. They do have great coaches around them. They do have help in the places that they need it, dependent on their position or their skill set or anything like that. That's the common denominator here, is that once these guys finally get in a situation that fits them, maybe not even objectively good, but something that fits them, that's when you start to see this kind of production and this development and the way that they come along. It's just, we see that so much, and it's harder than, you know, I think we give it credit for too, to really match players with the right situation, provided that team has the ability to take that person if it's in the draft, or pay that guy if it's in free agency. I mean, there's so many factors that goes into it, which is why we see so much parity in this. But I mean, especially when it comes to quarterbacks, Jared Goff really was left for dead. It was like, they wanted Matthew Stafford in Los Angeles. Jared Goff was a consolation prize. And you see what then Ben Johnson was able to do and how far Jared Goff has come. He's one of the best processors in the league right now. And that's not something you probably would have said about him early in his career, for as talented as he was. So now you see him being able to read certain things and diagnose things. And that's what helped them fare so well against Minnesota, and why they were kind of able to figure out Brian Flores. It takes a tremendous amount of processing power by the quarterback, and quick decision-making, and being able to process that all very quickly. That's something that just takes time more often than not. And then also good coaching. So hats off to all of these guys' coaches too, because they're putting them in the right positions.
We could probably spend another 30 to 40 minutes and go off on an Anthony Richardson, Bryce Young tangent right now.
Let's not open that can of worms.
Not go in that direction, but sometimes they do. And it is a lot of the times based on good process, good coaching, setting players up for success. And I think we're seeing that in our third award winner here in Edgerrin Cooper. That transition there, Carmen? That might have been my best transition ever.
That was well done.
That was pretty good. But no, like, what he's been able to do so far this year, they didn't rush him. They took their time with him. Part of that was due to the injuries that he had in training camp. Even still, he didn't even play 60% of the snaps this past week. They're giving the game plan to him in small doses so that he can manage it the way I think that's best for him. There's still some mistakes here and there, but my goodness, the plays that this guy can make at any given moment, you want him on the field as much as possible because he has the ability to be that impact performer.
There's just no excuse to not develop some of these guys in these defensive positions where there is a rotation. There's a rotation of every single linebacker that's on the field. And it's really easy to kind of work a guy in as he's developing in those positions, because at the end of the day, even the guys that are more established in, whether it's pass rusher, off ball linebacker, any of that, you still want to keep these guys as fresh as possible. So if you already have a rotation, or your ideal scenario is a rotation for a lot of these positions, why not do that with the rookie to get him up to game speed, to get him up to just understanding how NFL offensive lines are going to try and protect their guys, impede your place to the quarterback if you're pass rushing on that down, or how NFL running backs have vision that you can, you know, move laterally and all that other stuff. There's so much that goes into being, especially honestly, those inside backer spots or the off-ball linebacker spots, because you are so crucial against the run, but you can be involved in the pass rush. You can do all of this kind of stuff. And we've seen that from Edgerrin Cooper, who now has the full breadth of his toolbox available to him, given the fact that he is involved in the pass rush. He is going after the quarterback sometimes. He is going, you know, forcing fumbles from whoever. And it's just, it's one of those things where you need to develop those skills. And you need to develop that kind of vision. And if you have a position where you can afford a rotation, why in the world wouldn't you take advantage of that? And that's what I think the Packers have done really well with Edgerrin Cooper. He's all over the field.
He is. I think they've done a phenomenal job with him. And again, being able to blitz him from any different position and get after the quarterback, the ability to have him spy the quarterback, we've seen the job he did screaming up the seam and covering Christian up the middle of the field this past week, like just some very, very special plays. And if he can get all that other smaller stuff down, just like the alignment stuff and just some of the minutia of playing the linebacker position, the sky's the limit. And the fact that he's already getting recognition as a NFC Defensive Player of the Week this early into his career, again, when he's not even playing 60% of the snaps, man, if he can just get that all together, again, he's going to be a big time performer for this team. I want to go over to the Minnesota Vikings, who made a trade over this past week. We know the Christian Darrisaw injury was absolutely brutal for them. One of the best players in the league, in my opinion. I love the way that he plays offensive tackle. Was a massive, massive loss. So they do the best they can, and they go out and they get Cam Robinson from Jacksonville, who we thought we were going to see last week for Green Bay. He got activated for the game, but they didn't play him, which was sort of raising like red flags, like, I wonder if maybe he might get traded. So they started Walker Little instead. Green Bay didn't see any of them, and now we know why. They trade him to Minnesota, and Minnesota now potentially has that left tackle spot filled again.
Yeah, I mean, there's no replacing Christian Darrisaw, because you're right, the way that he plays left tackle, how aggressive he is, how much he engages with his defenders versus, you know, kind of sitting back, even in pass protection, it's just, it speaks to his athleticism, it speaks to his intellect and his football IQ. I mean, he is, I kept saying it, and I've said it for a couple of years now, he's a top three left tackle in the league, and there's just no replacing someone like that. But to go out and make sure that you got a guy that you feel can at least, you know, fill in to a degree that, I mean, the strength of this offensive line in Minnesota is the tackles. The interior, I think, leaves a little bit to be desired, and you kind of have to cover some stuff up. And you can, when you do have elite tackle play on either side, and you have Brian O'Neill on the right side, he's great. He's one of the better right tackles in the league. I'd say top 10. Yeah. And then you had Christian Darrisaw. So now you need someone really, though, that can complement Brian O'Neill and hold that left side in case there are issues on the interior, which there inevitably usually are, unfortunately, for Minnesota. So that's one of the things to keep this line working together and keep the continuity. They went out and they got Cam Robinson, and it's just, it speaks to how much Minnesota believes in themselves too. And they know that they weren't ready to give up on their season. And I do think that the loss of Christian Darrisaw was that was the one player that they really couldn't afford to lose. So now this speaks to the fact that they're like, no, we're still in it. We're contending. This isn't a lost season for us just because, you know, our starting core or our quarterback of the future went down. You've seen what Sam Darnold has been able to do and how much he's thrived in Minnesota, how much talent exists on this roster outside of him, outside of the quarterback position. I really liked the move from Minnesota. I just really like the fight. And I really like the belief that they have in themselves because it is warranted and justified. You just need to solidify the line because that's what's going to make everything go for this offense.
If there's any team that knows how devastating an offensive line injury can be to a playoff push, just ask Green Bay with David Bakhtiari before the championship game in 2020. And then even Zach Tom getting injured last year in that 49ers game too was massively detrimental. So Green Bay's had some of those injuries for Minnesota. Thankfully for them, they have the ability to course correct midseason and go grab somebody before the trade deadline. I think they were really smart to do so because this team's been playing great football and you can't let one of those injuries just derail your season. And I think this is going to allow them to continue somewhat to the extent on the path that they've been on, even though, like you said, no replacing that guy. Speaking of which, I want to ask you this. This is a tough question, in my opinion. Bigger loss in the NFC North so far, Aiden Hutchinson in Detroit or Christian Darrisaw in Minnesota? Hello, friends. We are quickly approaching the halfway point of the regular season already, which seems absolutely absurd to say. But despite time flying by fast, there's still plenty of season left, which means there's plenty of Prize Picks winning to be done. Now, with Prize Picks, you can make your selections in less than 60 seconds and turn your sports opinions into real money all season long. And right now, when you sign up on Prize Picks, you get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the bonus. It's guaranteed. Now, of course, Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action, and you can join over 10 million users who are already signed up. In week 9, I'm going with Amon-Ra St. Brown against Green Bay. Yes, I know we don't want him to do well, but he seemingly always does well against Green Bay. And I'm also going with Christian Watson against Detroit. Finally, I'm looking at Patrick Mahomes to have a huge game against Tampa on Monday Night Football. Now, there are plenty of options to choose from, but just remember, whoever you choose, you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. Prize Picks. Run your game. What's going on, everybody? I am so insanely happy that football is back. And as excited as I am right now, I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am to be back at Lambeau Field. And this year, I'm going to be taking my oldest son to his first ever regular season game, and that moment is going to mean so much to me. Thankfully, as I search for tickets to the game, Game Time has a brand new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. I'm actually scrolling through Game Time right now as we speak, and there are two tickets exactly in the section where I want, and it's currently listed as one of their amazing deals. Section 137, two tickets, and it's just so insanely easy to navigate and find amazing seats at the best prices, plus have the exact view of the seats you're purchasing. I can see them right now. And my absolute favorite part, Game Time has the lowest price guarantee. You'll get the lowest price to the game, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time.
Yeah. That's a really good question, honestly.
Two massive injuries.
It's like I said, I mean, Christian Darrisaw, again, so crucial to what Minnesota is able to do offensively, but then they can lean on their defense. And then defensively, that's what was making everything go in the pass rush when it comes to Detroit. But they've also been able to figure out other ways on how to get to the quarterback by involving some different people. But I do think it's become a lot harder on that coaching staff. So I think I'll still say Aiden Hutchinson, just given the fact that the Christian Darrisaw injury, the fact that they remedied it already makes me, I think that that's kind of the easy way out, but it's true. Because had they not done anything with Christian, had they not signed a new left tackle in Minnesota, I would have absolutely said Christian Darrisaw just because he's so fundamental to what they're doing. But Aiden Hutchinson, you can argue, is very fundamental to what Detroit wanted to do on the defensive side of the ball. It's just they do have talent at kind of every level that can mask it. But now that Cam Robinson is there in Minnesota, I have to think, especially with Dan Campbell's press conference a couple of days ago, that Detroit's trying to do something and they're trying to get another edge rusher in there or defensive end. I don't know. That makes it a lot harder on that staff is what I'm trying to get at. And I know that those guys have been sleeping in the office in Detroit, trying to figure out how to mask and make up for the fact that they lost the league leader in pressures and like, and every major pass rushing metric. Aiden Hutchinson was by far and away the leader. He was on an absolute tear, and that just, it sucks for the human. It sucks for the player. It sucks for the team. So I'll go with Aiden Hutchinson.
Sucks for us as fans too. And I get from a Packers standpoint, you know, it's the Lions and the Vikings, but man, I don't ever want to see anyone not have their full, like player potential. Like these are two of the best players in the entire NFL. It makes all those games better too. Like I would have loved to have watched Zach Tom versus Aiden Hutchinson this week. Like, that should have been one of
you
the
never want their matchups. To be like an asterisk on a performance. It's like, oh, well, they were able to dominate Detroit's defensive line, but it didn't have Aiden Hutchinson. So what does that really matter? Yeah. You know, like you never want that. You want good on good. You want these like epic, especially division battles that are so much fun for everybody. Not just, you know, I get if you have a dog in the fight, it's kind of hard.
But no, you mentioned like them like losing sleep. I can just imagine like the entire Moneyball scenario of like, we have to replace Aiden Hutchinson in the aggregate and like trying to figure out how many pressures and everything else everyone has to get. I will be interested if that team makes a deadline move for an edge rusher. I think that would make a very wise move for them moving forward. But just kind of looking at that as the trade deadline comes up next week, it'll happen before we get the opportunity to talk again. Any position groups or players that you'd like to see maybe one of these NFC North teams or a couple of these NFC North teams make a move for?
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to make any friends among the other teams, but I would love the Detroit Lions to end up with an elite pass rusher, whether that's, you know, I don't know if Myles Garrett's on the table or Max Crosby. I know that Mark Davis came out and was like, we're not trading Max Crosby, but I'm like, you know, everybody's got a price.
Yep.
And quite frankly, the Raiders are not in a good situation financially. So if they can offload a contract like that in what is a lost season for them, I mean, I don't. It would be incredible to see Max Crosby, because even when you look at it too, from Detroit's perspective, even when Aiden Hutchinson comes back, they were still needing someone opposite of Aiden Hutchinson. And so it's like, if you can get two of those guys, I just, Aiden Hutchinson moves around a little bit more, but not quite. Like they both kind of play the same side a lot. They play that the left side of the defense, the right side of the offensive formation. And, I do think, though, that there's room for one of them to move even when Aiden Hutchinson would come back. And then could you imagine the tandem of Max Crosby and Aiden Hutchinson? Like, the Lions would be unstoppable for as long as those two were on either side. Like, you wouldn't even need to game plan defensively if you're Aaron Glenn. You would have the easiest job in the NFL if both of those guys were on your defensive line. On top of having, by the way, I don't want to, like, gloss over Aleem McNeil and DJ Reader on the inside there that are eating up blockers and they're getting pressure themselves. They're like, they're such good players and they're such a good tandem on that interior, which is why you saw so much production out of Aiden Hutchinson, despite not having a true threat on the other side of him.
You know, the more I think about it, the Raiders are really smart to hang on to Max Crosby. They should definitely hang on to him. Don't worry.
We were just having a conversation, Andy, about how you want good on good.
maybe sometime down the road or something like that. But you know, I think right now the Raiders are just really, really smart to hang on to him. Cause they have to have good on good in the Raiders and the KC games and stuff like that. So they can have that over there for the time being. I want to talk to you a little bit about last week's games. I think the big one that I quite frankly haven't had the opportunity to discuss all that much. And I know it's, Thursday, now Fridays, people are listening to this, but that Hail Mary, Chicago and Washington, quite the epic ending to that game, to say the least. You had the entire Tyreek Stevenson situation, and then a game that just, the Bears had, kind of slipped right through their fingertips at the very, very end. And that was wild. And I'm curious, mostly your thoughts, not even on what happened, but how, like, there's got to be some sort of hangover effect from that. Does there not for Chicago? Like, how do they bounce back from that to play Arizona this week? And I'm just very, very intrigued for that game in general, but especially with that in the background.
Yeah, it's going to be a test of the character of this team. And to be quite honest, they have a really good culture in Chicago now under Matt Eberflus. These guys have been playing together and they've been playing for him even when the Bears were losing. Matt Eberflus never lost the locker room. And that's why this week was a little bit jarring, especially in the beginning, because you had multiple players coming out and openly questioning coaching decisions. And that's not something that we've seen before in Chicago under Matt Eberflus. We saw, of course, Justin Fields talk about it last year, but it wasn't multiple players. It didn't seem kind of all like rampant in the locker room that these guys kind of weren't on board with the decisions that were made at the end of that game. And so that's what I'm worried about as far as when you talk about hangovers. It's an emotional, complete emotional roller coaster. And what's getting lost too in all of this, and I hope it's something that they're actually stressing internally in Chicago, they clawed their way back. They hung in there because of the Bears defense, and Washington was 0-for-3 in the red zone during that game. And then you keep the Bears in it from the defensive side of the ball. And then after just having an awful three quarters, Caleb Williams does not give up on himself, does not give up on this offense. Last two drives has 95 yards passing, which almost triples his prior 9 drive total throughout the game. I mean, the fact that they were able to claw their way back and put themselves in a position to win that game with 25 seconds left, Washington needed a miracle to win that game. They happened to get it, but it wasn't something that I hope the Bears are really kind of hammering home the fact that they hung in there and they worked through adversity. And hopefully they take that into this week so that the adversity that's come with the fallout from losing the game in that way and from Tyrique Stevenson just being a complete bonehead. Hopefully this is kind of like a metaphor for the larger kind of culture that the Bears have and that they can work through it and bounce back. They're going to have the opportunity. They do have to cross a couple of time zones to get to Arizona. Although, no, we're switching the clocks back this weekend,
yeah,
right?
Sunday, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So Arizona's only going to be 1 hour behind Chicago then, which is a fun little, Arizona is just insane. Living there was insane. Half the year you're on Pacific time, half the year on Mountain time. But I do really, there's so much riding on this game that has nothing to do with the outcome necessarily. Like, even if they lose this game in Arizona, but if they lose it in a way that there was still a lot of good things that came together, I don't necessarily want to say like if they lose it at the last minute, that's fun, that's good, because like that would just be so horrible for the Chicago Bears. But I just want to see like signs that this team is still together, that they still believe in this coaching staff, that the foundation that was laid by Matt Eberflus and the culture in general hasn't been fractured by what just happened in Washington, because this is something that can snowball. But it can snowball to, you know, a good way. This can bring teams together too. And when you go through something like this, I just didn't like having to see that like teammates were coming out being like, yeah, you have to respect the game. I'm like, that's pretty fundamental, guys. Like, we should all be respecting the game. I kept joking, actually, this, not necessarily joking, but I talked about this week how the Green Bay Packers operate in a way that is unlike any other team can, because of the fact that they don't have an ownership group. They're a small market. They're not a small team fan base wise. The fan base is national, but because of the smaller market that they exist in, because of the fact they don't have an owner, they can do things like what happened with Romeo Dobbs, where you suspend a guy, or Jair Alexander last year for conduct detrimental to the team. They're the only team I've really ever seen voluntarily suspend their own players to make sure that they're holding them accountable.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think would be in play here for Tyrique Stevenson. I don't know if that's the way that Chicago can operate. Matt Eberflus hasn't committed to Tyrique Stevenson starting this game, but the truth of the matter is they need him.
Yep.
So how much can you hold him accountable without affecting his game checks or affecting his bottom line? Like, does the message really get through? And that's what's going to have to happen behind the scenes at Halas Hall.
I think the good first step for Stevenson is it sounds like he took accountability on his own and spoke to the team and and I don't know how much of that is his agent and PR and everything like that, but at least it's a start. It's something, right? Because if he goes in the opposite direction, it's obviously a whole heck of a lot worse. And to your point, they're going to need him. He's a key player on that defense, and they're just going to kind of get him reined back in. And correct me if I'm wrong, he was the one that was supposed to be with Noah Brown on the play, correct? Yeah. So,
yeah, no, there was multiple, not only was his back turned to the play for like the first 5 seconds of the play that was going on, but then he decided once he was late to kind of go rogue, and either he didn't remember his assignment or just decided he was going to try to play hero ball. And he was the one that ended up tipping it up when Kevin Byard was supposed to be the one in front tipping it down. Tyrique Stevenson tips it up instead, and then it goes right into the hands of Noah Brown, who he was supposed to be covering. I mean, the amount of things that went wrong for the Chicago Bears on that play, coupled with the fact that everything went right for Washington. And I mean, they executed it to perfection. Like, that's the only way plays like that work out. There's so low probability that it doesn't just, it's not enough for a team to execute the actual play to perfection the way Washington did. You also need catastrophic failure from the team that is trying to defend it. So yep. it was the perfect storm, unfortunately, for Bears fans to be let down.
Not to mention the play before, you shouldn't really allow them to get into Hail Mary range in the first place, but
there that's was. Another
story. And the thing with Stevenson too, is like, if he would have like, cause the first like 3-4 seconds that he's joined or whatever, not that it's a good optic or anything like that, but if he still did, like, he had time to do his assignment still, because sure like they're sure like did. Running down the field, right? So like, if I could, if his job was to be exactly where he was and he like kind of mistimed it, he was trying to bat it down, but it tips up, and but that's what he was supposed to do on the play. Like, I kind of feel like, to an extent, other than the optics being really crappy, that it's kind of much ado about nothing, because right. he still got to the point that he did his job. But the fact that he did it and then goes rogue and doesn't do his job, and right. the guy he's supposed to be covering score, like, that's the ultimate, like, oh, that is awful optics. And you literally, like, basically lost the team the game right there.
Yes. Yeah. You cost the team an entire game, because, yeah, that's why I said he either forgot his assignment or he just decided he was going to play the hero. Rogue. It, like, that was a decision on his part to try again and do something and go rogue a little bit. And honestly, after all of that, I talked about this on Marquee Sports Network in Chicago this week. The thing that got me the most, and I'm not absolving Tyreek Stevenson of doing any of this, but the thing that I had the biggest problem with is that the Bears had all three of their timeouts. Why in the world, if you're Matt Eberflus, did you not call a timeout when you saw Tyreek Stevenson? I mean, there's a video of Caleb Williams that looks like he's trying to get Tyreek's attention to pay attention before he turns his attention to the play that's starting. And like, as the head coach, you have to be looking around for stuff like that. You have to make sure all 11 of your guys are locked in. And like, there are also coaches that defensively in those situations will call a timeout regardless, in the same way that guys ice kickers, because you want to make sure that your guys are locked in. Even if it's just to pump your guys up and be like, we've got this, we've got this, just one more play, guys, hang on. Like, there's,
and just,
everybody
just
knows.
Just reconfirm assignments, right? Just to like reconfirm everyone knows exactly what they're supposed to do on the play. Yes. Like, that actually is, like, I didn't realize that they didn't even call, like, you've got three timeouts left and it's a Hail Mary situation. Just to confirm that the defensive coordinator and the head coach are on the same, you know, game plan of exactly what you want on that play. And then the players to be on the same wavelength of exactly what they, how they want it executed. And reminder, this is what we worked on in practice. You're like, that's not great.
Everybody knows what's coming. So you're not giving anything up to the offense if you call a timeout there by giving them more time to think it over. Like, it's such a low play. And again, there's so much luck involved in plays like that, that you're not giving away any leverage if you call a timeout there. So like, that to me was the most inexcusable part of the entire thing, was why did you not call a timeout? Especially when you, like, you should have seen Tyreek on the other side of the field. And if you didn't, then that's a error. That is a coaching mental error. Like, they always talk about player mental errors. That is a coaching mental error. And again, I'm not absolving Tyreek Stevenson, because it never should have been in that situation in the first place. But part of your job as a head coach is to save your players from themselves. And that would have been a really good time to call a timeout, Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, that's a season-changing loss, especially with how tough the NFC North and the NFC is. We kind of know the rest of last week. The Lions demolished the Titans. Obviously, we've talked about the Packers game all week, and the Rams upsetting the Vikings feels like 3 months ago at this point.
Sure does.
So we'll go to kind of next week. We kind of talked about Bears, Cardinals, but I do want to get your thoughts on Vikings, Colts, Sunday Night Football, and then we'll transition over to Packers, Lions. So anything you're looking at for Vikings, Colts, first of all?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting now to see, because the last 2 weeks you have seen quarterbacks be able to figure out Brian Flores' defense, but those quarterbacks were Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
Two very vested veterans, two guys that have extraordinarily good relationships with their offensive play callers. Can Joe Flacco do that with Shane Steichen in Indy and figure out Brian Flores' defense? And more importantly, Indy's offensive line is one of the best in football. And so can they account for the stunts and the different pressure looks and the simulated pressures that come with Brian Flores' defense, even if Joe Flacco doesn't pick it up? But Joe Flacco he's a veteran. He knows he's been around the block. He knows what certain things look like. But what Brian Flores is so good at doing is disguising his intentions. So can the offensive line, pivot and make sure that they're picking things up that maybe they didn't see right away, or can they set the protection to the correct player? That's half the battle when it comes to Minnesota. Something that I've talked to coaches about over the last few weeks is that a lot of teams that kind of get caught up with Minnesota's defense, they're setting their protections to Andrew Van Ginkle. That's not the guy to set your protections to, because he can do so many different things on a play. He might not be the guy that the side that he's on isn't necessarily where the pressure is coming from, because he may not be coming. He could be dropping into coverage. They move him around all over the place. That setting your protection to a guy like that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And it's going, and like Brian Flores knows that. So he's going to do something different, and he kind of manipulates these pressure looks accordingly that really make it hard on offensive lines to figure out where they're sliding to. That's the biggest thing that I think has stuck out to me about teams that do well against the Vikings and teams that don't. Because, I'm trying to figure out the defense, and it's really hard. So it's going to be interesting to see if the Colts have picked that up. And I'm not saying that's the end all be all. And obviously the Vikings do a ton of self-scouting too, so they can evolve. And that's this defense in general is just so, it can evolve so easily because there's so many different kind of variations of what they do. And he really challenges conventional player roles when you think about what he asks his guys to do. So that's what I'm looking for first and foremost, is really just how that offensive line fares against not only the defensive line, but just all the different kinds of pressure looks that Brian Flores will inevitably bring.
I expect a big bounce back from Minnesota this week. I know they had the two losses in a row. Obviously didn't have their best game against the Rams. I thought, Detroit, there's no real, shame in losing to Detroit in that game. That's a tough one to win either way. But I think they're going to bounce back big, get a big win against the Colts and kind of get back on track for the remainder of the season. We'll see what that offensive line looks like. I don't know if you've heard, I don't know if they can get Cam Robinson up to speed in time to start at
left. Today's Thursday. He should have practiced today. So as of Wednesday, they had said they wanted to see him in practice. That was likely going to come on Thursday before they made a decision on whether or not he was going to be able to go this weekend. So we will see. That's still kind of a fluid situation, I think. They are going to get TJ Hockenson back. So you can kind of afford to put an extra tight end out there, because if it's TJ Hockenson and Johnny Munt, and Johnny Munt stays on that left side to help the left tackle block, do you really need to rush Cam Robinson into this? That's kind of the question that I think that they're all trying to figure out in Minnesota, is what they can get away with. And if it makes sense to have a guy that doesn't really know the scheme in there right away, or can you get by for one game without him while he gets kind of up to speed and stuff like that? It's just weighing what kind of liability Cam Robinson would be versus if he would elevate the unit as a whole.
Hey everyone, this episode is brought to you by Manscaped, the global leader in men's lifestyle and grooming. Every man knows the unbeatable feeling of a fresh barbershop shave. Now, what if I told you that you no longer have to wait weeks or even months between appointments to experience it? Introducing Manscaped's newest innovation, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver, the game-changing tool that brings the luxury of a professional shave right into your home. Now, whether you're after that daily silky smooth finish, or if you prefer to maintain a rugged 5 o'clock shadow, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver is your go-to for precision and style every time. So head over to manscaped.com and join over 11 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by using code PACKADAY for 20% off plus free shipping. I still remember going through high school and college with a crappy razor and showing up to class with toilet paper stuck to my face and trying to stop. It was an absolute nightmare. It was not a good scene. I only wish I had a Chairman Pro when I was younger. And here's the thing. The Chairman Pro isn't just for daily shaves either. It's powerful enough to tackle up to a 5-day growth, making it perfect whether you're shaving every day or just tidying up after a few days. And with up to 75 minutes of runtime on a single charge, you can take your time getting the perfect shave. So you can get the Chairman Pro today and experience a shave that is as smooth as you deserve. So get 20% off and free shipping with code PACKADAY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code PACKADAY at manscaped.com. Yeah, I think they can probably get away with it, would be my guess, but we'll see. We'll see what they end up
doing. I would think he's a veteran. You traded for him for a reason. I would venture to think so too.
Yeah. Let's talk before we get out of here. Packers Lions, huge matchup. I saw you write about this is the really decider for who the best team in the NFC is up until this point in the season. I know it looks the Jordan Love practiced on Thursday, which is a great sign for him. I think he does end up going in this game. What level he can play at will be a little bit of an interesting story, and if he can get under center and do everything that they ask him to. But what is your expectation and kind of excitement of, you know, what you want to watch going into this game?
There are so many matchups that I'm like, I feel like I don't have enough eyes for a game like this, to be honest. I'm so excited for it. In the same way I was so excited for Minnesota and Detroit, and that game lived up to the billing and more. I think all of these division games are going to be so incredibly fun to watch, just from a football perspective. Like, if you're a football fan, like, these are two of the heavyweights going against each other. And I really want to see, honestly, I've been joking about Ben Johnson having just a blood feud with every team that they play. And he isolates something about that team and then just pettily goes after it. And I am very pro petty. For the Cowboys, for instance, that was the best display of like, oh, they had the whole reporting eligible debacle with Dan Skipper. So then Ben Johnson, all of the trick plays they had in their game plan involved offensive linemen scoring. Like, it was just, and then you look at this game against Tennessee where he's just like, oh, you're having quarterback issues in Tennessee. I'll do it without mine. And like, you saw Jared Goff, he had like what, 15, 18 attempts in that game. Like, he gave up touchdown. Like, David Montgomery is one of the ones is like threw a touchdown pass.
Yep.
Because Ben Johnson was just like, yeah, I don't need my quarterback to win. I got other guys that can do all this kind of stuff. So I'm very interested to see what Ben Johnson comes up with against the Green Bay Packers on the PFF show on Wednesday. Actually, we moved it to Wednesday now. I joked that maybe it was going to be Sam Laporta and how he was going to look at, you know, you look at historically Matt LaFleur loves using his tight ends in so many different ways. I know Luke Musgrave's hurt, but you have Tucker Kraft just, you know, hauling in these incredible touchdown passes and all that other stuff. And I just wonder if Ben Johnson's like, yeah, I got one of them too.
Yep.
Here's Sam Laporta, and like featuring Sam Laporta in some fun ways or ways that maybe Matt LaFleur likes to use his tight ends. It's literally like Detroit is playing with their food. And it turns out good for them most of the time, but this is going to be such an epic matchup. And I'm so excited about it because these teams are both kind of firing on all cylinders. And I really, really hope that Jordan Love feels 100% or as close to it as he's going to get, because good Lord, I want to see what Green Bay is capable of. But even if Malik Willis plays, like, I have a lot of faith in the Green Bay Packers too.
Yeah, no, they've been really, really good. And so is Malik Willis, but Green Bay is going to have an A+ self scout, because I don't know if you remember this last year, again, it was in Lambeau, the first game. They ran a play early in that game where they did a double move with Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Amon-Ra St. Brown was covered by Rasul Douglas on the play. Mm-hmm. And he ran a little hitch, and they kind of pumped it, and Douglas bid on it, and then he went back up the field, and they hit him for a wide open touchdown. And they said after that game, they're like, Rasul did something against them in the previous season that tipped them off to, if they did this exact thing, he was going to bite on it, and they were going to get an easy double move for a touchdown on him. And it happened to perfection. And, you know, Rasul bid on it, and Amon-Ra St. Brown goes right back up, and Jared Goff hits him for an easy touchdown. And like, that's just what Detroit does. Like, they will find your weirdest flaw / weakness, and they will find a way to exploit it. And that's why, again, Green Bay self-scout and what they see on tape and what they've done against Detroit in the past, they're going to have to be on point, because if there is anything like that, Detroit's going to find it. They'll exploit it, and they'll get a touchdown off of it. And in a game like this, where every point is going to be ultra important, you can't allow things like that to happen. So I'm going to be very interested to see, just like you said, what Detroit has sort of dialed up based on what Green Bay's looks that they've given them in the past and the looks that they give them in this game.
The reason I love football so much is because it, at the end of the day, it's like a chess match.
Yep.
And what is something that I didn't really know or understand fully before I really got into the league and I was around NFL head coaches and I had guys teaching me all of this wonderful stuff, not only about how to play defense or offense or kind of like the nuts and bolts of everything, but of the actual strategy. There are things that I'm sure on both sides that Ben Johnson or Matt LaFleur have, or Aaron Glenn or Jeff Hafley have put on tape that had nothing to do with the opponent that they were playing currently, but had everything to do with the opponent that they were about to play. Yep. And when it comes to division teams like this, that's why these games are so wonky, because there are literal plays that these guys will put into their game plan that is for the benefit of putting it on tape for their next opponent, so that their next opponent thinks they're going to operate one way on that play, and then they switch it up, and then they do something completely different. And again, it's like trying to stay 2 to 3 steps ahead of these of each other. It's so fun. I nerd out over it so bad. Like, I get so excited about it because I'm just like, this is so incredibly insane that like the gamesmanship between, you know, the really good offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators and stuff like that, to have the wherewithal to be like, okay, we're going to put this play in, and it's because the variation of this play that we're not going to show is going to directly attack the weakness of the opponent that we have in 2 weeks or the next week or whenever it is. It's wild, guys. I promise you, for as crazy as you think the NFL is, it's 10 times crazier.
Yeah. And there's times too where like, you're like, why did they run that play in a game? And you're like, then a couple of weeks later, they run something off of it. You're like, that's why they ran
that play. That's why they played that. That's why.
And the other thing too is, there's zero, like, these two teams knew, like, I guarantee Green Bay knew going into the year, like, Detroit's going to be the team that they're going to have to overcome in the NFC North. And Detroit probably hedged their bets that Green Bay was probably going to be the team that they were going to have to overcome, to not necessarily overcome, so to speak, but that was going to be their biggest competition in the NFC North. And so these two teams, I guarantee you, have spent an inordinate amount of time trying to figure out the little weaknesses and different things that they can exploit, and extra film study specifically on these opponents, because they know it's what's standing in their way between either a potentially a bye, or, you know, being the fifth seed, or potentially being like at least a home game in the first couple games and being again on the road for the entirety of the playoffs. So that is how huge this game is. And I can tell your excitement. I know my excitement. I know everyone's excitement for this game. It is going to be unbelievable. Hopefully, again, these two teams can be as healthy as possible going into this game, so we do get that real true heavyweight fight. But there's going to be another one down the road in Detroit that should be really, really good as well. Carmen, I cannot thank you enough. Where can we find all of your incredible work and plug anything that you want to plug on the way out here?
Yeah, go to CarmiV on Twitter and Instagram. That's where I post all of my stuff, because I'm trying to be all over, which is really fun. And so thanks for letting me come on here too. I always enjoy this in getting to nerd out and talk about teams, especially this year, that are so much fun to watch and to see how they're faring and they're going to fare at the end of the season.
Best division in football, and it's been a really fun, it's been like a beyond expectations so far. So it's been great chatting with you every week about all four of these teams, because we obviously hone in on the Packers 365, but getting to talk about some of these other divisional teams that are very much, I don't want to say near and dear, but, you know, keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer sort of thing. So it is very advantageous. You're the best. Find her on Twitter at CarmiV. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. That's going to do it for us today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.